We're going to be looking at the idea, or not the idea, but the attribute of faithfulness, God being faithful. The instances of God our Father's faithfulness is ably demonstrated time and time again in Scripture. I love that passage. I think it's in the first chapter of 1 John. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. How could God be anything less than reliable? How can God be anything less than loyal, consistent, and true? It is just who He is. The Bible being what it is and how it unfolds, God just shows up time and time and time and time again. He's faithful. He's never late. He's never early. He shows up exactly not only when He needs to, but when He wants to, and it is perfect. He is faithful. Just right now, just consider the confidence that each of us in this room has in the salvation that God has freely given us. That's because He's faithful. We don't doubt Him. Our sins are forgiven. Our salvation is assured through our belief in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We hold to that promise. God's a good promise keeper, isn't He? You know, it's funny, when I think about someone or something being faithful, I often think about dogs. Man's best friend. You had that dog, whether you were growing up or a dearly departed pet, and just the memory that's left of that dog, it's just like, well, they were always with me, they were loyal, they were consistent, it's a beautiful thing. I even think of that geyser in Yellowstone Park. I'm not talking about the TV show. Settle down. All right, everyone just settle down. I'm talking about the Yellowstone TV show. That's tomorrow. But Old Faithful, every 44 to 120 minutes, it's going to go off. How is faithfulness seen as something that we practice as men? I want to look at Gideon. We know Gideon. You've probably studied Gideon's life. He's a popular character, one of the most well-known story in the book of Judges. You can find it in Judges 6. We'll be looking at a few verses around there. But Gideon, the reason I think it's so, I have to say, in our brilliant planning of this retreat, one of the things with Gideon is that not only is Gideon shown to be a faithful man, but just in the course of those couple of chapters, God is shown to be faithful to Gideon time and time again. So this is like faithfulness square right here. God is faithful in answering all Gideon's concerns and questions, and Gideon is faithful in doing what God asks him to do. Interesting guy. We meet Gideon, and what's he doing? He's secretly threshing wheat, so it's not to be found out by the Midianites. And an angel of the Lord appears to him, and there's that awesome greeting, right? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And Gideon, he responds in a very honest and human way. And things start to escalate with Gideon and God. Gideon questions if the Lord has chosen the right man. So he brings an offering of meat and unleavened bread, places him on the rock. The angel that's speaking to him touches that offering with his staff. It completely consumes the offering with fire. Right after that, God asks Gideon to tear down his father's altar to Baal and to cut down the idolatrous Asherah pole and to build an altar to the Lord. And Gideon does this. I mean, it's a bold move. I mean, we're not just talking about, you know, shaking up a can of spray paint and spraying it on the side of a wall or something. We're talking about desecrating, you know, sacred things because Israel had lost its way and they were engaged in this idolatrous worship of these other gods influenced by the Canaanites, different peoples of the land. Gideon destroys it. He does this bold deed, and he is, you know, and God is faithful. God protects him. People want to hurt Gideon, and, you know, God protects him. So Gideon, you know, makes a call to arms to the tribes of Israel, and then on the eve of kind of everybody getting together, and Gideon, you know, after this call, Gideon asks the Lord, look, if you're really serious about this, I mean, God, if you're really serious, I'm going to lay out a wool fleece on the threshing floor, and if there's dew only on the fleece in the morning, I know that I'm your guy. This happens the way Gideon, you know, God does exactly that. The fleece is wet, the ground is dry. And then he has the audacity to ask again, okay, that's cool. Now I want you to do the reverse. God, I want you to keep the fleece dry and the ground wet. And the coffee hot. God does the same thing. He responds. Again, we're seeing the faithfulness of God in Gideon's questions here, but he goes forward. God is with Gideon every step of the way. And this all kind of escalates and culminates in 32,000 Israelites responding to the call of battle. They all show up. God says, Gideon, this is way too many guys. Excuse me? Yeah, tell everyone who's scared just they can go home. 22,000 guys are like, see ya! Well, why are you here? Well, my wife told me to. 10,000 guys remain. God says, that's still too many. Go to the spring and drink. 300 guys bring up water to their mouths to drink and kind of lap it up like a dog. 9,700 men get down on their knees to drink directly from the lake. God says, I'll take the 300. Gideon sends 9,700 men away. On the eve of battle, that night, Gideon and 300 men, I want to just read this in verse 13. Gideon asked God for one more sign. So God says, go down to the camp. Sneak down. See what's going on. Verse 13 of Judges chapter 7. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this could be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. And when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. And dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. Watch me, he told them, follow my lead. And when I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. And when I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout, for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon is singled out for faithfulness in this. He wholeheartedly did all the Lord commanded him to do. You have this unassuming guy who questions, who gets awkward, who goes to these very weird measures. But Gideon is faithful. When it was after him, he said, oh, well, Lord, just show me this. And then he went and did it. You see, God is faithful in this too because he's holding Gideon's hand time and time again and reassures him. And what comes out of that is that Gideon turns into Jack Bauer. I'm not kidding. I want you to think about this for a second. I think, yes, Gideon had some divinely inspired tactics, but this whole idea of what to do with the 300 and everything, I mean, Gideon had an amazing plan. He organizes 300 men into this facade so it seems like a massive army is surrounding the Midianite camp. They blow those trumpets and break those jars and hold up those torches, and they shout, and it throws the camp into a panic, and it turns into a slaughter. Gideon is our example of being faithful, because it's not always this heroic thing to be faithful, is it? Gideon has this awesome act of heroism, but, you know, this whole thing about, and I'm sorry, I just have to say this about the laying out the fleece. Don't use that term. Well, I'm going to lay out a fleece. Okay, that's not how prayer works. Okay, don't lay out a fleece on the ground and say, God, just make this wet and my grass dry. He's not going to do that, okay? But it is very much in the character of God to take us in our weakened and questioning and concerned condition and prop us up. It is very much in the nature of God to come alongside of us and hold us up when we cannot stand. He is faithful. And Gideon's faithfulness comes in the fact that he is just willing, and he is willing in the small things. The fact that he just responds to God's call. The fact that he is willing to cut down the Asherah pole and tear down the altar of Baal. The fact that he's just willing to make the call to Israel to come to arms are all faithful things. Faithfulness for a man. For a man to be faithful, it is not always a glamorous or an easy thing. Faithful stands by in integrity as it is being questioned. Faithful is showing up while not whole. Faithful is willing to march into the fray when defeat is assured. We model all this on God, who is faithful. God is faithful in spite of, always. The mechanics of a holy and sovereign God forgiving totally and completely, and never leaving us or forsaking us. It's astounding. Now, I want you to hear my confession. I have gone beyond the doubts of Gideon. I have questioned God being faithful in my life, and maybe you have too. There was a period of time not so long ago when apathy and incredulousness enveloped me. I saw no future. All I saw was my failure. It was the process of getting divorced. My youngest daughter was not speaking to me. I was unemployed. No prospects. I'd grown a beard that either made me look like a minor prophet or Billy Gibbons' nephew. I don't know. You know, the ZZ Top guy? Okay, good. I didn't want to say Dusty because, you know, Dusty's no longer. I had lost my perspective, and I did not see God as faithful, but he was faithful. You see, in my coma, for lack of a better word, God stood by me every moment in silence and concern. He was faithful and true. Sometimes I'd wake up from feverish stupor and I'd have like these odd snatches of scripture in my head or lyrics to worship songs running through my broken mind. And eventually, there was healing. It wasn't pretty. It was ugly. It was awful. It was embarrassing, frankly. But I believe, as a man created in God's image, that I can witness and testify to his being actively faithful to me. And in turn, I can imitate that. I can emulate that. So I'm going to be faithful this week. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to be faithful in the small things. I'm going to pick up my children from various jobs or school activities. And you know what? I'm going to show up on time. I'm going to keep my mouth shut when I need to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to do a good job at work even though I don't want to. So let's keep this small and practical. Being a faithful man is being faithful in many small things. And for us, the bigger is coming. Trust the Lord in His hand. Be assured that right now you are the right man for the job. And I just want to end this. There's just a beautiful, beautiful portion of scripture, Psalm 31, Psalm of David's, and just looking in the 21st verse, it says, "Praise be to the Lord, for He showed His wonderful love to me when I was in a besieged city. In my alarm, I said, 'I'm cut off from your sight,' yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called you for help. Love the Lord and all His saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud He pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord." What an amazing thing. What a good thing. And I just can't help but think how necessary it is in 2022, it touched on Christian ministries, that there needs to be faithful men.